card freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, ding, ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? Log on to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now, in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Wrong! It's Ken Colburn and Chad Pyle. Brandon Disney's on assignment.
Freezing.
I like those assignments. I like warm weather assignments, though. He's on the East Coast and Boston, Jersey.
You get all the good assignments.
Minneapolis. You know, membership has privileges.
That's right.
It's hour number two here at the Computer Corner. We're talking about flash drives, flash memory, flashity flash. It's a really cool way to store data that some of you are very intimate with, and some of you are going, never heard of it.
Samsung will start producing 16 gigabyte flash chips this year, which will nudge the memory technology towards use in notebook PCs, probably.
Mm. It's 16's not quite enough yet.
Well, no, but for smaller, thinner, lighter models, you get a huge advantage as far as battery consumption goes.
Yeah, but a 16 gigabyte flash memory card?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to hold much.
Well, what's it going to cost?
They're projecting that in 2007 it'll be about $90. Right now it's probably about $500.
Well, it's about $200 to $300 for the 4 gigabytes right now.
Yeah, so maybe more than that. No?
Yeah, I don't think the $90 in 2007 for 16 gigabytes. I think they're smoking something. Hey, before we go back to the phone, shall we do our Geek Speak of the Week?
Okay.
Let me see if I can do this now. I'm supposed to do this during the breaks. If I was smart, I would. How about this?
Found it.
Every week we try to give you a term, a portion of the vernacular that these geeks and nerds try to use to make you feel small so that you can educate yourself with information and say, I know what that means, you geek, you nerd.
I understand you.
Talk more gooder English.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is off the trolley.
Off the trolley. Does that have something to do with being drunk in San Francisco?
It might.
Oh.
No, it describes the behavior of a program that malfunctions and goes catatonic, but doesn't actually crash or abort.
It just kind of goes away.
Yeah, you won't do anything. The term is much older than computing and is slang elsewhere, so maybe that's where the... Yeah. Trolley is the small wheel that trolls or runs against the heavy wire that carries the current to run a streetcar. And if that trolley were to come off of that, be disconnected from that current, the trolley car doesn't actually fall off and go running off into the distance.
It just stops moving.
It's off the trolley.
It's off the
trolley. It stops moving.
The trolley being that little thing up high in the air, not the actual car.
Right.
Yeah.
Although now we just call the whole thing a trolley.
Well, I don't know. It's a trolley car.
Oh, all right. Right?
Trolley car, and the trolley is the combined, I guess, people to use that as the generic term for these things. But it makes sense. And you know, not every program that's off the trolley, or actually every program that is going to cause your system a problem. In fact, I was talking to Joan. Joan's problem with that internet security continued. Whenever she tries to close down when she's having these problems, she literally cannot. It never can shut down one of the components of that internet security. So
it's off the trolley.
It's basically NIS is off the trolley. What else is going on in the newsletter? By the way, we had a great suggestion from somebody on the newsletter items. Fred wrote in our email and said, you know, the shortcuts of the week, they're great, but could you publish them somewhere, like a full list of the shortcuts you've given? Because he finds it difficult to remember them and doesn't use them that often. He'd like to be able to go to a single resource. So in our rework of the radio show webpage, make a note. That's a good one.
But you can go to the computer...
Are you talking to me?
there's a place you can go on the website.
For all the shortcuts?
Sure.
In their entirety?
Sure is.
Tell me. Where? I don't see it.
No?
Are you talking about the Free Help Center?
Yeah, go to Free Help Center and go to Tips and Tricks on the left.
Tips and Tricks.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Well, those aren't all your shortcuts, though, are they?
Oh, shortcuts.
Hello.
Ha. Ha. Okay, we'll get right on that.
Well, let's just keep that in mind in our rework. All right. What else is in the newsletter, by the way, this week?
The tip of the week this week is calm annoying Wi-Fi notifications.
Wait. Calm annoying?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, you mean calm?
Yeah, if you're not annoyed by them, just disregard this tip. But if you live in an apartment complex or you do a lot of traveling, you'll notice that your laptop or wireless device is going to try and pick up every wireless signal around.
You got a loose laptop, do you?
A very promiscuous laptop, yes. So there's a way that you can turn off this automatically, these automatic notifications that can drive you crazy.
Does it take dollar bills?
Does a little, yeah. The shortcut of the week is WinKey plus F. WinKey being the little Windows key between the Alt and Control tabs. And what that does is opens a search box in whatever program you're running, whether that be Internet Explorer, Windows.
So if you're like in Microsoft Word, does it work there too?
I don't know, Ken.
Because I think that is the find key in
you're
Microsoft
right.
Word.
In fact, in Internet Explorer, it's technically called the find key as well.
Yeah. So we got critical updates. We've got, this is horrible, an email scam about the mining accident.
I mean, it's not the first time that scammers have used tragedies like this, but it's still worth noting. Yeah.
And then also my weekly advice column that's going to be published on Monday's East Valley Tribune as well. And somebody wrote in and wanted to know if a flash drive was a good backup device. And the answer is yes and no.
Right.
If you want the details, either check out the newspaper column on Monday or subscribe to our newsletter. Let's go back to the phones here and... Whoa! Hello!
Hello!
Hi, Alan!
Yes, that's me!
We're getting a lot of feedback or something here. Do you have the radio on?
No. I'm in my car and I have one of those little earphone things.
Oh, hands-free. Yeah, hands-free, not good.
Yeah, right.
What's going on with your Toshiba?
Well, I'm just... I'm actually have raised another question in my mind while I've been listening. And that is these flash cards or flash
drives.
I have on mine this virtual PC.
Yes.
Microsoft's virtual PC.
Yes.
And in that, I actually have, get this, a DOS program.
Okay.
And if I were to, can I save that? One of the problems I've seen with DOS is at least the regular DOS is that. You know, it doesn't even know what a USB port is.
Correct. There's no support for USB in DOS.
So if I use the virtual PC machine, could I back
Well, yeah,
that
but
up?
But you, let's follow through this. You're going to copy the virtual PC software to that jump drive, and you're going to launch from that jump drive on a machine that does recognize the USB port.
Right.
And then it's going to open a DOS session for you. So, yes. So, it
okay.
should work, yeah, depending upon which one you're using.
Okay. And then the second thing was that I'm just wondering what you would recommend as the fastest, perhaps, and easiest backup of the entire hard drive.
Well, how technical are you?
Semi.
I mean, you can put mirrored hard drives in any computer now if you're technical. The problem with mirrored hard drives is that there's no quick way, you know, there's certain things that that it won't allow you to, there's no time period between a backup and your primary, so that they're both reading and writing the same thing over and over again together. An external backup that backs up on a periodic basis gives you the time between, let's say you back up once a week. Well, you have a week to figure out you had a problem before it overwrites the backup again.
I see.
Or you can do it every single day. None of these RAID or whole drive backups generally give you the redundancy that we like to see, but they do a much better job than what most people... You know, the problem with redundant backups for most people is it gets too technical, so they end up not doing it. So
right.
in our estimation, it's better to have that consistent automatic backup of your hard drive in an external format. So let's say, you know, heaven forbid your house is on fire. You can run down, grab just that box and run out of the house, and you've got everything you need.
Right.
You can also, if you want to do offsite backups, we've had lots of our customers do this, get two of those external backup systems and keep one offsite in, at the house, or if it's a business, you can take one to your business, a safety deposit box, fireproof safe. There's a bunch of different ways to do that. But
well,
there
are, what I'm wondering about is the mechanics of doing that to the external hard drive. I mean, do you just use the backup utility?
Not if you want it to be easy and simple. You're going to need a little more sophisticated utility than what's built into Windows, because it doesn't do an image. We have, if you get a chance, we have posted on our website the product and the services that we provide and recommend to our customers. And you can learn about that whole system if you go to datadoctors.com/datavault.
Data vault?
Vault, yeah, as in, bank vault, kind of data.
Oh, okay.
Data
vault. Okay, all right.
V-A-U-L-T.
I got it.
Let's take a look at that and see if that thrills you, because we, you know, we're a service company, so we always look at the whole piece. A lot of people have a backup system where they buy it and they plug it in and it starts doing backups. But they really didn't know about the scheduler, and they don't know really what to do. Okay, when the drive crashes, what do I do?
Right.
So our system actually provides the installation, the configuration, the backup, the scheduler, teach you what to watch for, and then when the hard drive crashes on your machine, included in the price of our system is the restore as well. So if you're looking for that kind of coverage, that's what the Data Vault is.
I think that's exactly what I'm looking for. I've tried that Peerless deal and several of them, and I get discouraged with the whole thing, you know.
It gets too technical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So this is non-technical. The primary duty for our customers is to make sure that the light on the Data Vault is on.
Great. Okay.
It's pretty easy.
All right.
I will try it.
Good luck, Alan.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And then as a secondary layer of backup, again, this is where the flash drive, when you're using something like a Data Vault, that's when the flash drive comes in handy, because that's just another layer. There's no such thing as too many layers of backup.
Sure.
So we got to go to break here. It's Ken Colburn, Chad Pyle, one line open, 602-277-5827. Back in a flash.